Hello, my name's Brian. I'm an addict.
Hi, Brian.
My home group is in Easton, Pennsylvania, which is a long, long way from here. My name's Ashley Flugger, and speak. I have no idea where I was in for in terms of driving. They say to go to any length, and that's what I intended to do, but geez. I'm a little bit lost on the way up here. Went into a gas station, asked for directions. Like straight up a Deliverance movie. They sent me all over the place. But I made it up here. They asked me to speak on how it works. I don't really like to think about what I'm going to say because I ended up, you know, getting tripped up over my words and whatnot, so I kind of just wing it. I read it a couple times on the way up here. I had my girlfriend read it to me because I was driving on windy, hilly back roads through the mountains. And I was thinking about how it worked for me and how it's working for me. I kind of view it as a trick. It was like when I came around, or the reason I started coming here was because I had a problem with drugs. And that's what introduced me into the rooms. And since I've come here, I've been more or less focused on not getting high. And the reason that I haven't, you know, I've stayed focused on getting high, and in the meantime, all kinds of other shit has happened. I step back now and I look at where I was, you know, 3 years ago and where I'm at now, and it's just completely mind-blowing. And the whole time my focus has been on not getting high. Whenever I started coming around, maybe people started making suggestions by sponsoring people that I met in the rooms as far as what to do to stay clean, and following these suggestions has brought me, you know, a long way in a lot of other ways besides just not using. It says that if we were to try to predict what would be, you know, so far into the future, would be real far off. And I would have never in a million years ever imagined that I would be in a position that I am today. Just the fact that, you know, I'm able to be employed and have real relationships with people is mind-blowing. Sometimes I visit people from my past or my family, and they remind me of where I used to be. And that's the time I really take a spin to think about where I came from. Because I get so caught up in, you know, what's going on and doing the next right thing and trying to progress that I don't often take time to look back on where I came from. And I just recently picked up my mother and my sister and hung out with them a couple days ago. And we all started talking about the past. My sister's also a recovering addict who I had used with somewhat before I got clean. And she continued to use. But we're all clean now. And to sit around and rehash some of the stuff that happens, it seems almost like that I try to forget about where I came from a lot of the times. Just because it's unpleasant thoughts. Like, if I could choose what I'm thinking about, why would I think about something negative or some things that I had done in the past? There's certain steps that I've gone through that forced me to do that. But just like on a regular basis, it's something that I don't really think of. And there was a period of quite a few years that I really don't remember too much anything. I couldn't really put chronological order to the events in my life, and a lot of it's just like a big blur. So whenever I have the opportunity to sit around people that I was with back then and talk about some of the things that had happened, it blows my mind. There's a lot of people that I used with and I ran with that are all dead, or in, you know, serious problems. And I can't help but to ask myself, you know, why me? Like, how come I'm able to stand here in front of you guys and say, look, I'm clean today? You know what I mean? All these other people are still struggling, and some people will never find what I've found. There's a few people that I've known over the years that have gotten clean on their own and never had the opportunity to take a part of what we all do. And I look at their lives, and man, they're really missing out. I can't help but to feel sorry for people who, you know, don't have a chance to take a bite of this. It's the only thing that I found to inspire me to try to better myself, to wake up my spirit to the point to where I care about what I do and how I act. I think that I honestly believe I was born with the disease of addiction from day one. I was messed up through elementary school. I hated school. I had no motivation in life whatsoever. And this is long before I ever decided to pick anything up. So I started getting high. I got 10 times worse. And then I got clean, and now all of a sudden I've got this lust for life, and things are going great. And I don't often times sit back and give up my thought, because it almost seems like I've been led into this. But I had no intention on this happening when I first came around here. One of the most important things that it talks about and how it works is the We of the Program and people that we meet in here. I mentioned I hung out with my mother and my sister. I love my family, but I don't spend a lot of time with them. Just for whatever reasons, I don't get to see them very often. Maybe it's because I feel a little bit bad or guilty when I'm around them or whatnot, but the people that I've met in the rooms in the last few years have become like a family to me. Like, if I were to have the opportunity to relocate or move to a new area, the number one hindrance for me moving would be the people that I've met that have taught me everything from how to clean my apartment to how to balance a checkbook. I missed out on that part of growing up where I was supposed to learn how to do these things, or how to live life and how to act. I missed out on it. I was doing whatever it was that I was doing. But then all of a sudden I get clean and it's time to grow up. So I've learned everything that I was supposed to learn over a long period of time, crammed in a few short years. And everything I've learned since I got clean is from other acts. It's kind of ironic when you think about it. I mean, other people used to do what I do, taught me how to live my life. I still feel like a little kid. There's a lot of times I end up in situations where I'm in, you know, I'm at work or something like that. It's almost like I'm watching myself or something, like I'm role-playing. Like I'm not even supposed to be here or something. It makes me real uncomfortable to feel that way, but it hits me from time to time. Because I really don't know what I'm doing. I try to pretend like I do a lot of times, and sometimes it gets me by. But then when I get jammed up, I start to believe that. So, like, I know what I'm doing. And then when I get jammed up or I make a mistake, I'm back into a corner. It's like I'm embarrassed. I don't want to ask for help because, you know, Ryan's supposed to have his shit together. And I finally humble myself after being humbled because of being back into a corner. I finally reach out and learn something new. And that comes with a lot of pain for me because, you know, pride and ego. I really like to, for some reason, portray the fact that everything's okay. And things got to get pretty bad before I reach out for help. Something I learned real early was that growing comes with pain. Change comes with pain. And I hate pain. That's why I got clean, was because I hated pain. And still today, that's why I learn lessons in life, because of pain. And I say when the pain gets great enough, and that's been so true. Everything from sitting down and pulling out a pen and writing on my step to making some kind of significant change in my life. I don't know if the pain comes first and then I end up changing, or I start changing and then I go through pain. It really doesn't matter. When I start hurting, that means something's happening. I've been able to... Faith, that's what faith means to me, because I've been back into a corner so many times and come out of it smelling like roses every time and be 10 times better off than I was before I went through it, that I know every time I get back into a corner now, I'm going to end up okay. I know I'm going to end up okay. I don't get that, you know what I'm talking about, that feeling of impending doom, like it's over, you know what I mean? Like there's no way out, because I've gotten out so many times that it'd be ridiculous. It'd be insane for me to expect that I'm going to stay back into this corner. And again, it's the people that I've met to get me through these times. Because when it finally does come to a head, to the point to where, you know, it's change or get high, basically, I got to get some of that stuff off my chest. And it's the people that, you know, I'm around that I call on. I've never been one really for isolating, but it's nice to have people around to listen. You know, and even though these people have been telling me what I should or shouldn't do all along, I just chose not to listen. And then I get back in the corner and I got to put my tail between my legs and say, you know what? You were right. And it's never I told you so. You know what I mean? I wish I could get it down to where I could learn without learning on my own. You know what I mean? When somebody else tells me, look, this is how you should do this, right at the beginning, it's somebody that I respect, I should do it. But I don't. I always end up trying on my own and trying on my own. It's like a toy I had when I was a kid. It was like a ball. Half of it was red and half of it was blue. There's only shapes in it. You got to try to fit the star in the star and the square in the square. I keep trying to fit the square in the star until finally I got to ask somebody for help. Concept for a higher power is another real big thing they talk about and how it works. This was a hard one for me. I had to let go of a lot of real old prejudices and ideals that I had, you know, based on religion. And it took a long time for me to get through my second, and in particular my third step, because of just the distorted concepts I had of God. For whatever reason, I felt that God had, like, held resentments or something, you know? And when I screwed up, I always felt so guilty that I would kind of turn away from the whole concept of a higher power, so I wouldn't have to feel so bad about myself. And all that stuff changed once I come around, grasped the whole of the concept of a caring higher power and a forgiving higher power, somebody that I can turn to. I've got it down to a point now where it's not dogmatic when I pray. When I get on my knees in the morning and I get on my knees at night, I can talk to God just like I talk to my friends. I always viewed him as like someone that had to be spoken to differently. I'd change the way I speak, almost like I do with other people in society. You know what I mean? Like chameleon type stuff. I had to let go of that. The third step says, God as I understand him. So whenever I was writing this step, my sponsor had me first, because he kind of knew where I was at, right on how do I understand God. So I'm sitting there with a pen and paper for 3 months trying to write down who God is to me. I went through it. I sought a lot of help from a lot of different people, and it wasn't like all of a sudden, all at once one night, I woke up out of bed, it was like something sort of a believe it or not, it was like a light shining out of the sky, and angels were there. I figured it out that it doesn't really matter to him. Like, what kind of concept? I don't have to put, like, a person's faith to God, or I don't have to put stipulations on him or anything like that. I can just pray. I pray to God. I don't call him out by any particular name, and it works for me. It's worked for me since day one, so why should I question it? And it took a period of, like, 3 months to get to the point where I was comfortable with that. And once it happened all at once, and it opened the door to the rest of the steps. As far as dragging up the past and things that I had done when I got to my fourth step, my sponsor asked me to sit down and start back as far as I can remember and just start writing. That was a pretty tall order, being as though I really couldn't remember a lot of things that I had gone through. So what he did is he broke it down for me a little bit and started me off on categories. He would say, you know, write on things involving sex. So I'd get all that out of the way for a couple days. And then when I was done, I'd let him know. And put me on resentments, and I'd write about resentments for a couple of days until I couldn't think of any more. And before I knew it, I finally completed it. And when I sat down and went over with him, it was like tit for tat. I'd share something that I had done, and he'd pull up something that he had done. And it really made me feel a whole lot more comfortable about my past. A lot of the shame that I didn't even really know I had, but when I'm trying to share it with another human being, and all these feelings come out of me that I really didn't even know were there because I kind of ignored it. But when he shared back stuff that he had done and stuff that his other sponsors had done, not giving any names, of course, I felt a lot more a part of. Since then, he's published my fifth step without me knowing and has made quite a bit of money. It's on a website. You know what? I still feel like a little kid. The fact that someone would even ask me to come up here and speak to you guys really threw me off my square. Somebody would have recognized something in me that he thinks that I could share with other people. It's an honor to drive up here. I would have drove, you know, 100 more miles if I'd have had to, just because of the fact, you know, Lance asked me to come up here and speak. I love Narcotics Anonymous. When they were saying we can't say to the press, radio, and films that we represent Narcotics Anonymous, I can sure as hell stand in front of you guys and say I represent Narcotics Anonymous subsequently. And it's the greatest thing I ever found. I like I said, I meet people on the street or people that may not even be an addict or have any kind of a problem like that and think how well people could benefit from this program. People find, you know, different paths to follow to come to like self-enlightenment. This is mine. You know what I mean? All those, you know, religions and certain things, I'm not really cut out for that kind of stuff. But I found a way to take pride in what I do, to care about what I do, and have some sort of drive in life. It gives me a purpose, something I'd never had before. Like I said, way before I ever even started using it. I'm a lot more confident today. I can, you know, look people in the eye, which is one of the greatest rewards I've gotten, to be able to walk into even a convenience store and ask for a pack of cigarettes and look somebody in the face and not be ashamed of myself. One day at a time, it's brought me a long way. God, I pray that it continues. The way things have been going, God only knows. I remember hearing some guy speak, his name's Dennis H. He's one of the greatest speakers I ever heard. And I only had a couple days clean, and he said, I think I got up about a 30-day E-tag, and he said, he called me out. He was standing up leading. I thought this guy was great, right? And he like, calls me out in the middle of the meeting and says, strap on your seatbelt. God only knows where you're going to be 10 years from now. You're in for the ride of your life. I never forgot that. It was the greatest thing I'd ever heard. It really got me started. I had the opportunity to share it tonight with a real good friend of mine who's also from my area. I couldn't think of anybody else that I'd have follow me up. So, Crystal's an excellent. I'll turn it over to her.
My name's Crystal. I'm an addict. How it works, I've been going nuts, crazy, thinking about this. I was up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. My boyfriend came downstairs and he's like, honey, you gotta go to bed. I just, I don't know, my mind's been going 100 miles an hour. And, you know, I know I can tell you how it doesn't work. I've tried everything. My sponsor had me make out a list of, other methods that I had tried. And, I tried everything but a frontal lobe lobotomy and shock therapy. And those really weren't ways I wanted to go. I think I realized that in that despair when I got clean. I knew there was nothing else to do. And I came into these rooms and I thought, they ought to be teaching me something. And I was real mad at God. And somewhere around 2 months clean, my boyfriend died of an overdose. And I was real pissed off. And I was determined to get this program, working the steps, but without God. And I remember someone at the rehab I was in had told me that you're not going to get this program unless you have God. I was determined. I hated God. I wasn't, but I was going to stay clean despite him. And, it was a really, really depressing day, the day that I realized that I really did believe in God, and but I didn't know what I believed in about him. And so I started with the first step, trying to realize, my sponsor simplified it for me, and she said that, I'm really nervous. To simplify it, to just look at it as my addiction, and that's it. Because I've been hearing things in the rooms about how you're powerless over everything in your life. Well, that was too much for my mind to comprehend. So she told me to focus on just being powerless over the addiction. And after a while, focusing on that, I started to realize situations in my life that I was powerless over. And I could say, I can't control this situation. I'm done. And walk away and know that it's in God's hands and I don't have to deal with it anymore. And that's a real amazing feeling. I've had a lot of really, really big stuff going on in my life that, normally I would have picked up over it. Stuff that normally I would be in hysterics about. When I used, I was that, oh my God, you don't know what I'm going through. You have no idea. And now it's like I'm calm and I'm handling the situation. And I know that there's only so much that I can do, and the rest of it is in God's hands, but it took me a while to get there. But like I said, I had this anger towards God, and I heard Ryan share a little bit on that. The preconceived notion that I had of a higher power was the religion I was brought up with, which was I was brought up Jehovah's Witness. And, my God hated me from the time I was born. Couldn't stand a damn thing that I ever did. And I hated him for that. Why was I going to love something that chastised me for everything I'd ever done in my life? So, I even started going to church trying to get a little bit of Christianity, and you know what? I was ready to use over it. I didn't realize that a lot of my using was to numb the spirituality because I had so much anger and shame when it came to God. And, I've not done everything perfect in this program. I had a male sponsor, and he taught me a lot, though. Eventually, I had to move on from him because, it just wasn't working out like that. But he taught me that, he showed me the anger that he had towards God and that I shouldn't be ashamed of it, that the only way to get it out was to release it. And I started writing. The pain just became so great. I had a year clean. It was the day I picked up my 1 year. And I was depressed. I thought, something's supposed to happen on this 1 year, and nothing did. And I felt worse. In my mind, it's always, I feel bad, I got to pick up. I feel bad, I got to pick up. And even with some clean time, that thought comes in my head, just not as often now. I have different steps to take, but I was real depressed. And that day, I started writing, and I got a lot of anger out. And the more I started writing, the more it became pain, and the more I started crying. And, then I started to write what I thought God was, because they say God is within each one of us. So I started to write, well, obviously I must know something about him if he's within me. So I started to write about what I thought he was and what I wanted him to be. And it just became this simplicity in my life. And thank God this is a spiritual program, not a religious one, because I can't handle religion. Something that kind of kept me out there for a while, because I thought, this is a cult. You got to love this God. Well, he turned on me a long time ago. And you know what? That's what people have taught me. It's not my real beliefs. And this has been a time of me learning what I actually believe, because for so long, I did everything trying to fit into what, and so that formed my thoughts of, fitting in with this group. And I tried to become what they wanted me to become. And it's been a real freeing experience to learn what I like and who I am. And honesty was something I was never any good at. I lied constantly. Now I get a rush off of being honest. Just to watch the response that I get from people sometimes when I tell them something a little shocking. And I don't have to deny anything. In writing my fourth step, I got all that stuff out. And it was just amazing to me that once I got it out, it was like, really not that bad. And I'm not all the way done with it, but I've already gotten a ton of peace just by realizing that I'm kind of okay with the stuff I've done that's not who I am, and seeing it for what it was. I didn't do those things because I was evil. I did it because I was in an addiction, or I did it because I had low self-esteem and I wanted someone to love me, or, it was the only way I knew to handle a situation. And through working this program, I have met people, addicts, that did the same things, that have learned a new way of thinking. And this takes some time. Like, you get clean, and I wanted it all to happen right away. I thought right away I was going to be feeling better. I wasn't. I was depressed as hell. I mean, you just took away my best friend. I had to give it up because I knew my life wasn't going to get any better. And over time, I'm starting to enjoy things. I don't need the drugs. And the we of this program is awesome. I've never had friends before. And the relationships that you build in recovery are unlike anything you've ever had. Because I don't know about you guys, but my using, I was in my apartment alone. The only people I dealt with were people I had to get high with, or which were usually people I freaking hated. And now I can choose who I want to be around me. I have the right to make these choices today. And, I have these beautiful relationships. And not everything's perfect. The relationship aspect of recovery can prove itself a little difficult. If anything has made me want to use in recovery, other than God, any excuse I need. Just coming up here, I'm like, I'm stressed out. I need Klonopin. I need something. A drink would be really, I could leave from hell if I could just get up there with a drink. But that's just because that's the way I think. I'm an addict, and there's always got to be some quick, and that's just not it. I have to endure this. I have to stand up here and sweat, and I have to look at all you people, and sometimes it's, but this is what keeps me clean. And sometimes I think I have to get up here and impress everybody, but the most important thing is that you do this for yourself, and in doing it for yourself, you help other people. And, for a long time, I was real self-centered in this program. I only thought about myself. It was all about me getting better. But once I started helping other people, your problems just seem to go away, and you're helping these other people, and, and you get this peace and this tranquility from helping people that I always just thought I was worthless. And to think that, I can be of some use to someone.
Oh, you guys suck so bad.
But, it's fun. They're great. Where was I? That totally just threw me. Yeah, I've
Yeah, I'm up here sweating. I've learned a lot from this program, though. Like I said, I've had a really bad situation in my life just recently, and I had a ton of people in recovery to call, and having helped other people, I had a lot of people to come and help me through this, and I thank God for that, because there had been a time when something like this could have sent me over the edge. I mean, I remember a time when if getting high anymore didn't help, I tried to kill myself, or I tried to hurt myself, or I'd bang my head against the wall, and now, you know, when things get real painful, I know I can reach out to someone, and I know there's hope, and I've never had hope. I mean, I waited for the day that I was going to die until I got into recovery, and even for a while in recovery, I was like, just doing this till I die, just doing this till I die, you know, it's something I got to do, and you know what, somewhere along the line, the miracle happened, and I heard that when I came in here, and I did listen to it. Just some kind of hope, that little bit of hope that there might be some miracle around the corner. Because out there, using, there was no miracles. I lied, I stole, and I didn't have to turn to prostitution out there. But whenever I start thinking about using in recovery, I know that's where it's going to take me. But my mind is so sick that it's like, you know what? I could probably handle that. You know, I could get back into recovery. I could deal with that. I've seen people do it. It's not so big a deal. How'd you do that? You know, and then it's like, wait a minute. Why am I thinking that way? How sick am I? And I have to reevaluate. But I'm able to talk about that around people that understand it, because only in NA are we able to discuss these sick, twisted thoughts that we have, and we do, we have them. But, you know, we're okay. You know, and if anything, I think we have a lot more freedom than most people, because we can be honest about it and we don't have to fear people anymore. I'm nervous being up here, but in other situations in my life that used to terrify me or paralyze me, you know, I can walk into it with my head held high. I remember when I first got clean, I couldn't look anybody in the eye. And I definitely didn't do it when I was getting high. And it's a miracle now. I can look at people and I feel like I'm on the same level as them. I'm not afraid of them. They don't scare me. I have some rights today. I deserve some respect. And when I'm out there using, I don't think I do. And I'll let you walk all over me, treat me like dirt. And this is the first time in my life I've grown to love some things about myself. And only through working these steps you get that freedom. And, you know, I had to fight God in order to gain God. You know, maybe that's what other people need to do too. Some people get it right away. I've looked at people with 10 days clean and been jealous as hell. They have this big grand awakening and God's talking to them. And I'm like, where do you get that? Can you put that in a bottle? Because I just can't get it. And, but you know what? I worked for it. This has been a lot of work. But I wanted it. And some days I have to keep it as simple as today I'm clean. You know what? And be really proud of myself for that, because that's not my nature. I've been getting high in one way, shape, or form, off and on. First time I got high, I was 4 years old. Full time, 12 years old. And, I've been getting high my whole life. And this is the first time that I don't have to do that. And, you know, this program has just offered me so much. That's all I have.
Okay, we have time left. First, I'd just like to thank Ryan and Crystal. It was an honor to get there and do some tonight, because not only, you know, did I get to hear them share about how it works, but I get to see them live it on a daily basis in the area, and it just means a lot to me, because both of them have taught me so much. I'm supposed to open it up for a discussion if anyone has anything they want to say or add. Okay, in that case, we can close the workshop. Sorry, I had too many to prepare. They didn't have my readings ready until after 10:45, so I apologize for that. Could we have the reading of just for today?
My name is Byron, I'm a drug addict. Just for today. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living an enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in AA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program, and I'll try to follow that program to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
Okay. Can we have a nice way of closing? Let's form a circle.
God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can.